And that's a bit of the brand new release from my guest, Jessica LaValle. The song is called Highway Says Hello. And we will, of course, hear that song in its entirety a bit later here on the podcast. Plus, I have another song to play from Jessica. She was born in Newfoundland and Labrador, raised in Lourdes de Blanc-Sablon, and she now lives near Brockville. Without further ado, my pleasure to welcome Jessica LaValle. How are you?
I'm good, Dave. How are you doing?
I am doing just wonderful. It's been a while since we've chatted here on the show or on the live stream I used to do, which was always a blast. So great to chat with you again.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it, Dave.
It's my pleasure. And we got to meet for the very first time. Sometimes you feel like you've met somebody. That happened to me at the Moonshine once. I met an artist and they kind of said, oh, I think we're... They didn't think we had met, but because we had seen so much of each other on the live stream, it felt like just we had already met. But you and I did meet in person back in June at the CMA Ontario Awards weekend.
I know. It was so amazing. I was like, oh, my God, Dave, I didn't realize you were so tall.
I get that a lot. That's usually the first or the second thing people say to me is, I didn't think you were that tall. I guess shorter on the internet.
Well, I'm also only 4'11", too, so everybody else is taller than I am, but you're extra tall.
Extra tall, exactly. No, I hear that a lot, but yeah, it's hard to tell from pictures sometimes until you see someone. But yeah, it was great to meet you there. A super weekend in Hamilton, and of course, the CCMAs are coming up in Hamilton again mid-September, so I'll see you there. I'm looking forward to that. So how's your summer been so far as we chat? It's like more than halfway through August. So how's your summer been?
The summer's been awesome. I've spent pretty much the whole summer with my family up in my cottage in Norway Bay, Quebec. And we absolutely loved it. Me and my husband and my youngsters, we just had a blast. And I practiced all summer and I did a few gigs and it's been nonstop and literally I just enjoyed every second of it.
Incredible. That is what summer is for, to recharge and just have a good time. And we got to do it while the weather is nice.
Oh, guaranteed.
You have a great new song out there called Highway Says Hello. When I first heard this, I liked it right away because it's just so catchy. And of course, your vocal on it is wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
Just tell us about Highway Says Hello. I know that you co-wrote this song.
Yeah, I co-wrote this song with Bill DeLuigi from Nashville. And this was, it was a virtual write. I haven't met him in person. But we wrote during COVID. We wrote, I think, 4 or 5 songs all together so far. And I always said it. The second we wrote that song, I said, this has got to get recorded. Like, this is, I just love it. And everybody I, you know, had listened to it and all that stuff said, you know, that's a great tune to record. And sure enough, I called up Kent Wells in Nashville, my producer. And I said, I would love to record this song. And sure enough, we did. And again, it was a virtual recording this time around. It was the same process I did for my EP. It was wonderful. They had all the music done there at the recording studio at Kent Wells Productions. And I did my vocals at the Powder Room here with Randy. So here in Brockville. So it was really, really good. And I enjoyed every minute of it. And I love the mix and everything about the whole song and how it came about. Kent really knows what I want in my music. And he really, really caught it this time for sure again. Like he always does.
Yeah. He's kind of a legend, I guess.
He's wicked.
Worked with, tell us some people he's worked with that we will know the names, to say the least.
He produces Dolly Parton. He works with her. And then I know a long time ago, I know he played guitar for Reba McEntire. He's absolutely phenomenal musician, wicked guitar player, and wonderful producer. And most of all, he's just a great person. He's really genuine and very sweet man.
Amazing. Yeah. Let me just correct myself. I said Highway Says Hello. The song is actually Highway Say Hello.
Yes, it is. Actually, I didn't even realize you said that. But anyways, that's true.
For anybody who did catch it, yes. Highway Say Hello.
I usually put an S or something on every word anyway. That's just the way I don't pronounce a lot of my words right.
It's a great song. It's got that alliteration, and it is such a great song. So what did you want to express in this song, Jessica, you and your co-writer? What were you saying in the song?
So when I started the co-write with Bill that night, I said, you know, it'd be really cool to write a song about the experience that I had growing up, just watching my dad go out and play. Because dad was a full-time musician and, you know, he used to leave for, you know, a couple weeks at a time and go and travel and just play on the road with his band Borderline. And, mm-hmm. And we were young, my sister and I were really young, and we used to always be so sad to see him leave, of course, because, you know, he's leaving. But when we also knew that this was something he loved to do. You know, we, even at a very young age, especially I knew what he was doing. I mean, I love music at that time too. I was only like really young, but I knew at that moment in time, I loved music as well. And I knew that that was special to him. So that was kind of like the process I had going through my mind, even at that age. Right. And every time he'd come back, he'd always bring us a little gift and we'd all get excited, you know, and, but the whole thing is, and I guess the van that he used to travel in is a ruby red van. And I always thought that would be a cool, like, line to put in there, right? In a song, in a country song about traveling and stuff. So anyway, it kind of came together. And that's exactly one of the lines is has the ruby red van in there. So, but, you know, Bill loved the idea and we just went with it. And I was so happy that night. I felt really good about it. And after the co-write, I was really excited and I couldn't wait to get it on and do a demo and do up something right away. And I don't know how many takes I did of that demo to get it the way I wanted to get it. It was just a wonderful process. And of course, writing with Bill is just phenomenal. He's a really wicked writer. So I'm just very, very blessed to have met him as well.
Dig a little garden in my yard. Tend my patch of hometown stars. Till the restless wind blows down my road. And I hear the highway say hello. Won't trade a dime for more tin. This ruby red van serves me well. It takes my song show to show. When I hear the highway say hello. Fly around like the hummingbird.
You did your first performance at 6 years old with your dad's band. That's pretty amazing at that age. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, I was always singing with, you know, at the house and stuff like that with dad, and he'd always have his guitar out and whatever, and, you know, but the first performance I ever did live with his band was in when I was 6 years old, and I was so little and nobody could really see me. I was very short, you know, like I is now, not that short. But they put me up on these tables, and they threw a cowboy hat on my head. And I tell you, I went to town. I sang "There's a Tear in My Beer" and "Ashes of Love." And I'll remember that night forever. Like, it'll be still in my mind. I love that moment. And honestly, that was a night I knew I was always going to sing. I was going to be a singer when I grow up. That's exactly what I have always said.
What a big moment to know that at that age and to get the confidence from singing those songs, "Ashes of Love." And then, of course, "There's a Tear in My Beer" that Hank Williams Sr. and Hank Jr. did as a duet. I guess it was Hank Sr. originally, but they did that cool recording.
Well, I love the old country, right? So that was just the stuff. And at the time, my dad was doing a lot of the 90s country and a lot of the, you know, that was kind of his thing there too at that time. So it was, country was all around me. Of course, Irish and Newfoundland music as well was a big part of, you know, everything around me as, you know, too. But country was just, that was, whoa, the line dancing. And I went to line dancing with my aunts, and we were just, it was total like country in my brain.
Now, when you were growing up and getting into your teens, etc., who are the artists at that point? Were you getting into some of the newer artists they might be traditional artists, but that started to appear on the scene?
Yeah, well, I definitely grew up listening to Dolly Parton and, you know, Willie Nelson and all that stuff. But when I was a teenager, I definitely started listening to Marty Stewart, Vince Gill, Ricky Skaggs, Patti Loveless, Pam Tillis. Those were one of huge influences on me. Dwight Yoakam, Highway 101 was one of my favorite bands for forever.
Whiskey, If You Were a Woman.
That's such a so wicked many. Tune.
Yeah.
Oh man, I loved every song that they put out, and Paulette, I still listen to them. You know,
Paulette Carlson was the lead singer initially.
Yes.
And then I think there was another replacement down the road. But yeah, they had a great sound. And all those artists that you mentioned there were new at the time, but they were one artist that were the traditional kind, like Patti.
Guaranteed.
And Ricky, of course. So that's great. You really just gravitated, even as you were growing up and modern stuff was coming out. You really loved that traditional sound of country.
Oh, yeah. That's always been that's kind of where I always gravitated towards for some reason. I just had a love for that, and that's what's caught my ear, right?
And what about songwriting? When did you get into songwriting when you discovered music or performing at age six? But when did you write your first song?
I wrote my first song with my dad at 12 years old. It was a song called "We Can't Be Apart." That's also on Spotify and everywhere else where you can find your music. I wrote that one with dad. And I didn't write a whole lot during my high school era, I guess. Yeah. But I did keep a journal, and I was just writing a lot of different things, you know, and ideas and stuff. But as I got a little bit older, around 1920, I just started to really get like very interested in that. And especially in the last 10 years, I've just been, I can't even get enough of it. And in the last 2 or 3 years, it's my world. Like I can't even leave a conversation without having a wonderful idea that pops out in that conversation. And it might not even be a conversation I'm having with somebody. It could be, you know, a conversation I'm hearing between two other people that I don't even know that are random in a coffee shop, you know? and I'll just politely just take out my phone and put my notes down in my phone. That's a great line for a song someday.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. I find inspiration in so many different spots, the strangest spots, you know. It could be a melody. Sometimes I listen to birds. Like, this is how funny it is. I get so involved with it. I'll listen to a bird outside and I'll get a little melody. And then all of a sudden I'm like singing this melody and I'm writing down these ideas and I'm like, oh, this is a wonderful idea for a song. You know, now whether or not it's going to be a ballad or, you know, faster or whatever, it depends on how the song goes and where it takes it. But I get so many different and odd and strange and wonderful and cool experiences when it surrounds songwriting. Like, songwriting to me right now, it's one of the, I can't even express how it feels to be able to put down on a piece of paper, because I'm still old school. I don't use the iPad when I co-write. I don't usually do that unless somebody else is writing it on a Google, whatever that calls. But technology is just not my friend. So I don't know any of the terms of that stuff usually. But I mean, if I have to, I'll find out, you know. But it's usually on a piece of paper. And
you feel more connected to the writing if it's the pen or pencils in your hand and you're putting it on paper. Like, you feel maybe more a tactile experience, I guess.
Yeah, it's like all a part of me. It's like, and then I keep those notes and it's like, I don't know, it's just something very special about that process of the songwriting too. It's like there's so many different levels of how it all becomes something. So sometimes I just like to take it all in, you know.
Yeah, no, I thought it was really cool what you said about hearing conversations, your own conversations, overhearing someone in a coffee shop and getting a line or a title from something they say, which is great. And that's what a songwriter can do, because the average person, I mean, if you're not writing songs, that's not going to stand out to you. But if you are, you're always on the hunt, consciously or subconsciously, for an idea. But yeah, you're right. In conversation, you can overhear or in your own conversation, wow, that is a title. That's a line, and away you go.
Oh, guaranteed. Like, there's been so many crazy ideas that I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to write this down and I'm just going to keep that in my box until the day I want to introduce it to somebody. Sometimes it's absolutely nuts, right? Like, it makes no sense sometimes, you know, or it's just not the right time, or I don't feel like writing a song about that certain thing, right? So
good point.
It really just depends.
That is a great thing. I mean, I've heard it before too, but you emphasized it there that write the ideas down. You might not write that idea that day, a couple of lines. You might not flesh it out. Either you're not ready or you want to save it for a certain co-writer. But yeah, have that scrapbook or that hook book. And, you know, and then you get with a certain writer or you're in a certain mood and flip through it. And maybe it's 6 months down the road, that line is going to work with you that day.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, I've been co-writing a lot. And actually, that's one of the things I love doing right now. It's such a cool experience to just go through someone else's mind and how they think about the idea, or, you know, because everybody has a different way of, you know, one idea, the way I think about it might not be the same way someone else thinks about it, right? So, you know, so like their perception of what I'm saying might be completely different. And you know what? Like, sometimes if you put two of them together, it makes a wonderful idea, and you would have never came up with whatever they came up with on your own. So I find, like, especially when I co-write, I find a lot of really cool stuff comes out of it because of, you know, the extra brains we have connecting.
Yeah. Extra brains in the room. I like that. Brains are better than one.
Yeah. Oh, so funny.
Yeah. No, it's so true. And and the other thing, of course, is it's a lot of fun to write with someone. Aside from writing a great song, the hang, as they say, for that 3 or 4 hours, you know, you're having a coffee or a drink or whatever, you're going out for lunch, but you're having a good time on top of writing a great song. So it kind of goes hand in hand. But, you know, if you're writing by yourself, that's great, but you're having fun writing with others.
Oh, it's always fun. Like, most of the time, it's just, we're just chatting about our day and what we did the weekend, or, you know, and then sometimes you go into a co-write and it's just, you had this idea and you're like, oh, I can't wait to present this idea to somebody, right? And then all of a sudden, the conversation that we're having just out of the blue, you know, we're like, oh, well, that's a good co-writing song right now. Let's just talk about that. You know, like exactly. It won't even like, it's so like an experience that, like somebody might have had that weekend or what. It depends, right? Like there's so many, I don't know, the co-writing, I can't stress it enough on how much I love it. It's just, yeah, I'm so happy I started co-writing.
Everyone should do it. Everyone who's a writer should find another writer or writers. As you said, you'll learn a lot from them. And do you have a dream co-writer? I'm sure I've asked you this in the past because I like to ask this question, Jess, but anybody, and it might have changed since I did ask you the last time, who would you like to get in a room with and write with?
Oh, my. Oh, that's a hard one.
It's a tough one. Yeah.
That's definitely a tough one. I mean, my all-time favorite would be Dolly Parton, of course. You know, she's just a phenomenal songwriter. You know, if I'm like literally out here dreaming, for sure, that would be the first pick. But, you know, I mean, honestly, Marty Stewart, like he's been one of my favorites, honestly. I feel like he's got that groove that I just absolutely love. And lots of times when I get songwriting with Dad, I'm like, hey, Dad, like, why don't you give me like a Marty Stewart groove? And that's typically how we like almost every time we start writing a song, I'm like, hey, figure out like a, give me a Marty Stewart, because he's a wicked guitar player. So like, that's probably the person I would love to co-write with. Yes.
Marty is amazing. Absolutely.
Oh yeah. He is just one of my favorites, honestly.
Just wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love him. And you know, it's so cool that I was just thinking as you were talking about Dolly Parton and her songwriting skills that she wrote. I remember I was just double checking this online to make sure that it was actually correct. But she wrote, you may have heard this, Jolene and I Will Always Love You on the same day.
Oh, my gosh. Whoa. Money in the bank right there.
Exactly.
That
can
that
you believe just, it? Some people are lucky to have one half decent song in one day. And
can
maybe not
imagine?
Again for a few months, but she did two in one day.
I wonder if she even thought at that moment in time that those were hits, you know, but most people, when they write a song, because they're such in the moment at the time, you know, they don't necessarily think about that. I mean, I don't anyway. I don't think about anything except for the song at the moment, because it's such a, you know, it's such a personal thing. So, you know, I turn off the whole world when I'm writing, right? Like, I don't think about it. Anything besides the song, pretty much. And I'm just lost in there. And until I get it done, I mean, it's just literally lost. and I have to finish it usually. Otherwise, it'll just drive me nuts. Yeah, it will really drive me crazy.
When you say you need to finish it, you mean in that session, the one you're sitting at, you don't come back a couple of days later, you want to finish it in one sitting?
Not necessarily with the lyric part, but when I'm like trying to sing it, especially with the demo after, if I don't get that, like, because I get so excited with the lyrics, okay? So once the lyrics are done, I obsess with the song until it's completely done. What doesn't matter how long the process takes, once the song is down and I have the idea and the tempo is down and it's out there for the world to listen to, that's not necessarily like professionally recorded or anything, but I need it down. I need it on something tangible that I can listen to. And then I'm satisfied. Then I can not think about it no more. And then I can sleep well. Like, I swear, like, this keeps me up at night. Like, if I don't get a song, if I do a co-write, I get so excited after co-write. Or write, if I write on my own, I get so excited. I literally have to pretty much sing it right away. And if I don't get it done, like I will not stop until it's done. And that's really the only thing on my mind, you know?
It becomes your sole focus is to get that song done.
Yeah.
And kind of, not feel like it's left hanging and need that closure almost, right? To know the song is done.
Yeah, it's so funny. It's so funny.
That's the way it is. Yeah, with an artist, I totally get it. It's such a cool process, writing and starting with a blank piece of paper, in your case, because you're actually using paper. Literally, not just figuratively. And, you know, an hour later, 2 hours, whatever amount of time goes by, sometimes even shorter than an hour. You've got something on that piece of paper that didn't exist prior. And sometimes it's just something beautiful. It's moving. It's fun. Whatever it is, you've created something out of nothing. And that's the crazy and great part about songwriting.
Exactly. Yeah. And then to get to, you know, sing it after, to me, that's like, oh, I don't know. It's an outer body experience, literally. And for me, it's like it takes me into a different world. Like it's like that too. When I'm on stage, I'm usually just, you know, I'm in my own little world. I literally am. I'm just there. I know people are out there, but I'm in such a grandiose space in my head that I can't even express how it feels. Like it's pretty amazing, actually.
Do you have a favorite song you cover in your shows? I'm sure there are many songs, and you can throw out a few of them. But what are a few, Jess, of the songs you like to cover? Well, I'm sure they're going to be classic songs.
And funny enough, I mean, this is not country, but I guess you kind of call it kind of Southern rock, I guess, maybe. Can't You See?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So Can't You See What That Woman's Been Doing to Me?
Yeah. Like that for me, I could literally just let loose in my vocals there. And I could belt it out if I wanted to, but I can also just keep it and hold it back too. And it depends on my mood or whatever, or, you know, I don't know. There's something about that song that just absolutely, gets me going. And also one of my most favorite songs, and this, it also has something to do with my grandma LaValle, who passed away a few years ago. It was her favorite song. It also happens to be my aunt's favorite song, Aunt Marcella's, and it's The Coat of Many Colors. And that one will always, that one will always be probably the most special song ever in my ever. Yeah, that one there.
I guaranteed. Hear you. Songs can do that for, especially when it's tied to a memory.
So that one there is beautiful for me. I'll always cherish that song. Yeah.
Incredible, Dolly Parton. Another
one. You got me crying, Dave. Crying.
Yeah, no. Shame. It's like Barbara Walters here. I didn't mean to.
It's all good.
It is all good. Yeah, it's great when music can touch us like that. So that was a real moment. And I know what you mean. I've got great moments with my dad, who has passed away 6 or 7 years ago. And, you know, he used to listen to Hank Williams all the time. And so, and other songs too. So I know about that bond when you listen to music, especially country music, with a relative. And so I totally get it. But yeah, when you mentioned, you know, Coat of Many Colors, I Will Always Love You, Jolene, Here You Come Again, which kind of more poppy song. I love that one. On and on. Dolly is just incredible. And I guess she just did a rock album. I haven't listened to it yet, but I understand that she did a rock album with some guest performers on it.
Yeah. I mean, she can literally just do anything, right? She could
do it all.
She could sing the songbook and the phone book. I don't know if they exist anymore, but it would sound absolutely wonderful to me. One of a kind, you know. Yeah.
She can go online and sing whatever phone book might be online or something on in this modern world.
Exactly, right?
Something she can sing. But you're right. She is incredible. Let's talk about your song, Small Town Girl, which we're going to hear on the show as well. Tell me about the inspiration behind that one, Jess.
Small Town Girl. I come from a small town, and the place is called L'Île de Blanc-Sablon, like you mentioned at the beginning at the conversation. It's L'Île de Blanc-Sablon, Quebec, and it's right on the border of Labrador in Newfoundland. And I was raised on the ocean and surrounded by, you know, sailors and fishermen in my family. And my grandpa was a captain for years and years. And, you know, and I mean, I got uncles that are sailors and fishermen. And so it's always been, you know, it's such a big part of my life, obviously, living by the ocean. And I always felt a special bond, even though I'm not here no more. And I go back to visit, and my family goes back to visit. My husband and my youngsters, they just love it, you know. And I love being able to introduce that to them, too, to show, like, where mommy came from, you know. And that's mm-hmm. so special to me every time we do go back.
Yeah.
But just to appreciate the simple things in life, because, you know, it's literally just so much beautiful surroundings, like the environment is just beautiful, and the people are so sweet and welcoming and inviting back home. And I don't know, it's just, and I just felt a deep connection to it. And when I left, I was very sad, of course, you know, but I left, and my heart belongs there, though. It'll never leave, and I'll always be from there, and I'll always be proud of where I come from. So you know, it was an absolute, I had to write about it. Me and Dad, Terry LaValle, and Carmen Melton Bennett, wrote it. And, I really like it because it also has like a, kind of a soul, a little bit of soul in there too, you know, like soul, kind of Southern Rocky kind of style too. And it's very country as well. So there's so many little, and the lyrics are really just so close to my heart. So, I mean, that's pretty much the story behind Small Town Girl.
Summertime is here but gone, out on the East Coast, in a little town by the sea, the locals call Lance Applaud. The sun sails in the morning, they dock the boats each night, kissing this by sunrise, and a full moon that shines so bright, that shines so bright. I'm still that small town girl, proud of my small town world. No city lights leave me blind to the love of the coast that flows. Roaring again, summertime never seems to last. All good things must come to an end. Springtime will find me here again when the seagulls take flight. I'll be back when all the fishermen set out once against the sky.
Let's talk about what's ahead for you. We know the CCMAs are coming up mid-September, which is going to be a great time for you to connect. And you were saying to me before we came on the air, I mean, you're just so good at walking up to people, maybe not strangers, but people in the music world, maybe strangers too.
I'll guarantee grocery stores, I'll say hi to anybody.
You'll say hi to, yeah, exactly. You've got that friendly spirit. So you can basically, you're your own marketing team, and you're going to walk up to people at the CCMAs, and people are going to remember Jessica LaValle.
What's that? Sorry. Oh my gosh.
People are going to remember Jessica LaValle.
Oh dear. Well, thank you. Well, I'll have my cowboy hat on and I'll be walking around and I'll be talking away and I'll be throwing around cards like you wouldn't believe. And I'm not shy at all. Like, I'm really not shy. And you know, there's so many people that I've met online now that I feel like I've, like, just like when I met you, I felt like I've known you forever, right?
Yeah.
So there's going to be a lot of that, I think, too, this time around. I felt like that when I went to the CMAOs, you know, lots of people I met online, and I went up to them like, oh, you know, hey, you know. So I'm almost positive it's going to feel that way here at this CCMA. So it's going to be a wonderful time, I think.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And aside from that, I'm looking forward to seeing you there. Aside from that, Jess, what are you looking forward to the rest of the year, and especially in your career, your music career? What do you want to see happen?
Oh, well, I'm definitely going to be playing around for sure, playing some gigs. Got a couple gigs coming up there in the next 2 weeks. I got two gigs coming up. And then obviously the CCMAs, and I'm going to be writing songs for sure. And I'm going to be going to go and hopefully record again. I've got tons of songs that I could choose from. And I've already got one I already have in mind that I really, really want to record. So yeah, there's going to be new music for sure coming in the near future. So
that's great news. In the meantime, we have Highway Say Hello to listen to stream, and of course to tell all our friends about on social media, so more people know about the song. There's a music video as well that people can share and check out on YouTube or at your social media sites. It's Jessica LaValle. Thanks again for being here, Jess. So great to chat with you. I look forward to seeing you at the CCMAs.
Thank you so much. Me too. I just can't wait for that weekend. And thank you so much for having me on, Dave. You've been doing so much wonderful stuff for this industry. And I can't thank you enough for what you are doing and how kind you are and how genuine you are. And you are doing an absolutely wonderful, wicked job.
Oh, thank you, Jess. That feels great to hear. And I appreciate that so much. Those are the kind of words that keep me going and keep me fired up. So.
You're very welcome and well-deserved, Dave.
Thanks again. Mm-hmm. Once again, I have been chatting with Jessica LaValle. I'm Dave Woods. Keep on keeping it country.